What's up, everybody? This is Ethan Howard with Coconut Brick Studios, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great poll, kid.
Only watch your step. This place can be a little rough.
You found something.
You found the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
What a piece of junk.
I'm your host, Greg McLaughlin.
He's as clumsy as he is stupid.
Join me as we discuss Star Wars trading cards and card collecting.
We need a statement, not a manifesto.
We'll talk about sets from the original vintage.
No, the one I'm pointing to.
All the way to current releases.
This?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Commence primary ignition.
Welcome back, or if this is your first episode, welcome aboard. My name is Greg McLaughlin, and this is the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Good show for you tonight, as my guest is Aaron Harris, and he is one half of the Star Wars Reactions podcast. We'll be talking to him about that podcast tonight, but it was his foray back into trading cards that kind of got him on my radar a little bit, and I've been looking for a chance to talk with him about it, and you'll hear more of that interview tonight after we get a little housekeeping out of the way.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
All right, well, for one, I hope everyone had a good Labor Day weekend here in the U.S., and if you're outside the country, at least had a good weekend, and had a good week maybe collecting. Here in the U.S., what's nice is we get a little extra day off, and that's always a good time to give yourself some time. Let me explain. One of the things that in working a couple of jobs that I've found over the last decade or so is that sometimes I feel guilty if I give myself idle time, because so many things are structured when you are, you know, against the gun all the time and you're trying to get from here to here and here and here, that sometimes if you give yourself a little bit of time to, I don't care, idly just listen to some podcasts, listen to some music, watch some YouTube, play a couple of video games, organize your card collection. These are some things where, you know, on a normal week, sometimes that time does not avail of itself. And you feel like if you're kind of getting into something, you know, you really should be doing something else. And so one of the things I kind of like on some of these long weekends, or at least on long weekends where I'm not working every day, or I maybe get an extra day, those are really a blessing to kind of take stock of, you know, what you got going around you, you know, crack some packs that you haven't had a chance to open. I know I still have some cards I need to look at, organize some, you know, collections here and there, you know, dust some shelves, things that, you know, you can really find a lot of enjoyment, or should I say peace and calm in, just kind of moving things around. Just that simple act of just kind of puttering around, you'll find is probably one of the most healing and satisfying things ever. And so, you know, as we kind of go into this weekend and Monday, you know, I'm kind of really looking forward to it. Might even catch a movie with some of the family. Just kind of looking forward to just having some extra time. And those are the kind of things, you know, when I originally was thinking about putting together this episode, I wanted to kind of do an episode, you know, on just the joy of collecting and just the simple joy of cracking a pack, or, you know, putting some cards, organizing some cards, whether you're putting them in a binder, whether you're putting them in a box, maybe you're moving those sheets around, maybe you're taking stock, maybe you're building a Lego set that you've been kind of waiting for that opportunity. You know, these are the kind of times that you really have to kind of capitalize on and jump on. And just, you know, it's just that relaxation. And, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, these little moments you kind of give yourself really add up and are really, really important. So those are the things that as we come into and, you know, this of all weekends, it would normally be a weekend where we would probably be like, you know, like maybe most folks out there, you'd be planning a trip somewhere or you'd be looking for something. You know, this year is completely different for a number of reasons. So, you know, kind of taking stock, kind of recharging, kind of giving yourself, you know, kind of putting a little juice back in the battery is probably the best thing you could do for yourself, you know, in my opinion. And that's something that I try to, because, you know, when you get back to it and get back in the grind, sometimes it's kind of hard to get those wheels turning again. And, you know, it's going to start getting real busy again. You know, we are going to get in the holidays, and if you're working and, you know, you got a lot of get all that stuff off your plate so you can kind of get to the next round. So, you know, I hope wherever you are, like I said, you had a chance to get a little extra time. You know, there's how many books have been released? You know, get some reading in, or, you know, listen to an audiobook. You know, whatever you do, but just give yourself some time. Give yourself some time to your family, and I think you'll be the better for it. All right, sermon done on that. But like I said, that was something where when I saw Aaron getting back into it, and some of the cards he was kind of going after, and just kind of listening to him on the Star Wars Reactions podcast where he does with David Motter, it was really fun, and I really wanted to get a chance to talk with him about that. Like I said, we'll be getting into that full interview, and it was a great conversation. One of the things, just sort of on a bit of a downer note, it looks like that Holocron set that was supposed to come out this week looks like it's been pushed back to December. So just like earlier on in the year, mainly because of either printing issues or distribution issues because of COVID, it's kind of pushing these back. So December is going to be quite the month. If we already were going to have Mandalorian Season 1 come out in November, still looks like it's slated for that. Hopefully it's not going to be pushed back as well. But that's a hobby and retail release, and they probably do want to get that out before Black Friday and the holidays. We also have Masterwork, which comes out in December as well. And so, what I'm hoping is we don't have a lot of releases kind of stacked on top of each other. I will say this just because it's on the calendar. There is a Star Wars Stellar Signatures release still on the calendar for October 21st, and that is really a high-end one. I almost, kind of pause mentioning it, but it is a high-end release, and it's a set that is, they're only going to make 100 boxes of these. It's all signatures. It's a five-figure set, and some of the bigger folks will go after that, or we'll buy and parse some of those out. So if you start seeing rumbles of that on your particular feeds, that's what they're talking about. It's like I said, Tops will release several card sets throughout the year, some geared towards your bread and butter collector, some geared towards high-end ones, some geared towards just about everyone. So when you're going through and you're kind of picking what you're looking at, I try to highlight the sets on this podcast that I think if you are getting back into it, or you're a casual collector, or you're kind of card curious, as it were, things like the Journey of the Child set that you can find at Target and Walmart, or if you're thinking about the Mandalorian Season 1, which I really highly recommend, and if that Digicon set from the Star Wars Card Trader that we saw is any indication, I know that if you go on Cardboard Connection, you will see some examples of it, of some of the cards from some of the sell sheets they put out already. But, these are going to be some really good cards. And, they got some good signers. Sketch artists are involved. So I'm still going to hang my hat on the fact that the Mandalorian Season 1 release will be the one, I think, that if you are kind of on the fence, that's where I think you got to make your play. That's going to be a great set. And if you got a good community of folks that are also collecting out there as well, a lot of potential for trading back and forth. And one thing you can do during this time is throw a couple cards in the mail and send them off. It won't cost you a mint, and you'll make some friends along the way, and it's going to be kind of fun. So that's, like I said, that is a release that I want to talk about a lot between now and the time it comes out. I also am excited about Holocron. I did get a hobby box already pre-ordered. Like I said, it would have been coming out this week. Now I got to wait till December. But we also still have Chrome Perspectives, Resistance versus the First Order. That is already out. That came out last month. I picked up a base set off of eBay. Talked about it before on the podcast. More and more of those cards are trickling in as I get some of the Adrian Edmondson autographs and some of those parallels, and there were a lot of them. But that is sort of a nice micro collection within a collection, and it's something that when we're kind of going set to set, sometimes these are the kind of things that are fun to kind of chase and give yourself something to, just something to kind of keep your mind occupied and also to kind of spruce up the collection a little bit. Not much else on the homestead keeping for tonight. Just wanted to get into the interview. But I would say, as far as my final thoughts on Digicon, I really kind of liked what the folks over at Topps Digital were doing across the apps. I thought that it was an event that had a lot of content, but also was one, I think, that, really sort of rose to meet them. It looks to me like, the sets were dropping pretty much when they should be. There were some watch parties. There were some special guests they had on the program. There was some really nice content in the carts themselves. Once again, talking about the Disney Collect, the video and audio they had from John Ratzenberger. I really like some of the sketch cards, the original art cards that we saw in Star Wars Card Trader. I liked what they were doing in some of the other apps, you know, Marvel, Bunt, etc. So I'm hoping that they do this again. Certainly, it's no replacement for actually being there in person, but it's one of those things where I think I really liked where what they were trying to do, and I encourage them. I like to see more of these watch parties. I like the fact that they put themselves, Mark and Gabby, put themselves on Twitch, getting more and more time in front of fans, and I think that back and forth will help the apps immensely, and hope to get Mark on the program at some point so we can talk about this a little further. Otherwise, that's about it for Homestead Keeping, and now it's time for my interview with Aaron Harris.
Well, I suppose I could hardwire this thing.
Yeah, I've been following you guys for a while, ever since, you know, Rebels Reactions is where I kind of pick up. And that's sort of, it's sort of for me an entry back in. It all kind of coincides with, you know, The Force Awakens and Rebels kind of coming back in, where you start to kind of rediscover the Star Wars universe. But can you kind of tell me, how did you kind of dip back into... Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were sort of also kind of a latecomer. You start with Clone Wars, right?
I was a Star Wars actually fan for growing up for years with the original trilogy, and after Return of the Jedi, it just kind of stalemated, because I grew up overseas. My parents were missionaries. I grew up in South America, so I didn't have all the stuff that was coming out with the expanded universe when the book started coming out and stuff. I didn't have access to it. I didn't even know they existed. So my likes kind of shifted from, I still like Star Wars, but I started looking and enjoying other things. And so I kind of fell out of fandom for the longest time. And it wasn't until my friend Robbie took me to Star Wars weekends back in, I want to say it was 2000. The kids were just babies. So it'd probably be 2008, 2009 is when he took me for the first time. And I only went because it was just going to be a guy's day, just the two of us. And I had no clue. He's like, we're going to get there at like 5 a.m. I'm like, dude, the park doesn't open till 8. He's like, I know, but we got to get our autograph tickets for James Arnold Taylor. And I went, who? He's like, James Arnold Taylor, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. I said, no, he's not. Alec Guinness is, and he's dead. And he goes, no, the Clone Wars. I go, the what? I had never seen it. So we went, and I just went with them and got the autograph tickets. We hung out, had a great time. I'd always been a huge John Williams fan. If you look at my music playlist, it's all Williams music. The majority of it's all Williams music. And so walking into Hollywood Studios with all that music blaring, it was all the Williams music playing. It was just like, man, I've forgotten how good it feels just listening to this stuff all, because I listen to it all the time. But being in an atmosphere where that's just, you're absorbing it from all angles, is just, it was refreshing. And then we got in line to meet James Arnold Taylor. And my friend went first, and I get up there and I'm like, he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good, how are you? He's like, good. He goes, so you like the Clone Wars? I go, I'll be perfectly honest, dude, I have no clue who you are. I'm here because he brought me, and I don't know. So he literally sat there for about 10 minutes and just literally brought me up to speed.
Wow.
There was 30 people in line behind me that also had tickets. He had the seat, but he spent like 10 minutes just talking to me, filling me in on what it was like, what Clone Wars was and what it was like and everything, and he did with the character, did the voice for me and everything. And I went, okay, that's pretty cool. So I was a little fired up. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll have to go back. And we left, and I'm like, I'll have to go back and watch it. Well, 2 weeks later, my friend wanted to go back. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, sure, I'll go. I had a great time. He's like, this time we're going to get there early and see Ashley Eckstein. I went, who? So literally the same thing happened. We went, had a great time. I got to meet Ashley, and I literally told her, I'm like, honestly, I've never seen your character. I've never watched the show. I'm just, he brought me, last week was, or a week or two ago when I came, it was the first time I never heard of the show. So she did the same thing. She spent 10 minutes telling me all about her character while people were waiting. And after that, I was just like, you know what? If these voice actors are so hyped on their characters and their shows, there's got to be something to this. So that's when I started binge watching. It was about season 4 of the Clone Wars is when Maul started showing up, and I binge watched, got all caught up, finished the series. That's when I started listening to podcasts, and that's pretty much what got me going from there. That's literally what got me back in the fandom was literally my friend Robbie taking me to Star Wars weekends and introduced me to James and Ashley.
You know, it's one thing to enjoy a property, like something clicks inside you as you're watching, like I really like the stories or I like the actors and so forth. But when you can have that personal connection, mm-hmm. and, you know, it'll translate later in what we're talking about. But yeah, that's, you know, where you just become, not only are you a fan of the show, but you're a fan of them because they took that time to, you know, to interact with. I remember last year at C2, John Barrowman, who played Captain Jack in Doctor Who, you know, you have a pretty typical autograph, you know, area where you have the people sitting behind the desks and you queue up one by one and you go up and you can have a great interaction but he was actually standing in front of his booth. You know, this is definitely a pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had that interaction, but he would also like take the selfie with, he's like, give me your phone, I'll take a selfie. Like, you know, like if you're going to pay for that, yeah. Like, do it. And so one, you know, you're saving yourself from like shaking your phone because you're that nervous, but he's also interacting. He's like, all right, he knows it's like, we're going to do the fun shot. We're going to do this shot. We're going to do that. And, you know, I already love the character, loved him anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, that just makes it more because you have that, you had that moment and you're like, I'm not expecting the next time you meet him. Like, you remember when we caught back that, but I'm like, no, I want to, you know, it's the same thing with, in following Resistance, where Christopher Sean, very engaging with his audience.
Very.
And you get that, you know, and that's, it's what you love with the, you know, Ashley Eckstein was on just recently. She was doing the Digicon. She was on with the Tops folks.
Yep.
And, you know, it's great when you can have that little extra on it. And, you know, the Clone Wars finished, right? But you can still go back and you're still sort of following her career and so forth. And it makes it nice where then you can kind of keep going with it. And I'm sure when Clone Wars came back, you know, you've been following this for a while. You've been kind of waiting. You know, I kind of come in, you know, I had seen some of the Clone Wars and then was like, okay, it doesn't really my thing. And then kind of came back. I kind of like you had to binge watch a bunch. Mm-hmm. And then what was your reactions of sort when the Clone Wars when it came back for certain, how did you feel about that?
I was actually excited. You know, they didn't get to end it. I know they didn't get to end it the way they wanted to. So I was excited to see that they were actually going to get to finish out the season, especially that Siege of Mandalore arc, which we had been waiting for and they had been talking about. We knew that was in the works when it got canceled. And so it was really hard not seeing it. So when they announced it was coming back, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And there were so many story arcs that had been discussed since it had been canceled that we were going to do this, we were going to do that. So it was just like, okay, which ones are they going to cherry pick to give us? Because, you know, I had seen the animatronics of the Bad Batch because they released it like the year after they canceled the Clone Wars at San Diego Comic-Con. They put it on StarWars.com. So I remember watching that entire arc. And, of course, they tweaked it for the new season, but it was there. Then I remember watching that. Then, of course, I remember the whole Boba Fett versus Cad Bane arc that was going to happen. And I'm like, oh, man, are we going to get that one? Then, of course, Dark Disciple was... The book Dark Disciple was an arc of Clone Wars that never got done. So it's like, well, what are we going to get? And so there was a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. The only thing I knew we were 100% getting was Siege of Mandalore. But man, it was an exciting time. It really was an exciting time. So I was beyond stoked.
One of the nice things also, I was wanting to follow up on your experience with, because you are in Florida and mm-hmm. you're somewhat close to the parks.
Yeah, about 45 minutes away.
And I know from the time that I lived in St. Pete for a time.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things I found out was when you are in Florida, going anywhere outside of the state, you are far at an end. You have to go up and out. It had to be pretty exciting to see Star Wars come to you, as it were, not only with the weekends, and of course, you know, you had Star Tours, but as, you know, them announcing Galaxy's Edge and building that where, you know, because normally anywhere, like even if you're trying to go to Atlanta for a con or Dragon Con or something like that, it's still a haul.
Oh, man. When they announced Galaxy's Edge, I lost my mind. I'm like, finally. Because I remember sitting there when they did Pandora at Animal Kingdom. I was like, what the deuce? We're getting this and we're not getting Star Wars? Come on. You don't even own Pandora or Avatar. What gives? I was kind of roughed up by that. But when they announced Galaxy's Edge, I was like, oh my gosh, finally. Then they announced the hotel, and I told my wife I was going to bankrupt us staying a week in the hotel, and she said, no, you're not. And I still haven't convinced her to let me stay at the hotel yet, but I'm working on it. But it was exciting, and then to see the park start to rope stuff off, you know, it was heartbreaking because a lot where they built it, there was a lot of stuff back there that we enjoyed. You know, every Christmas they down the street in America, they always had this light show at Christmas time, which was just, it's gorgeous. So, you know, there was some sacrifice that had to be made to get Galaxy's Edge. A lot of that stuff closed down. The Premier Theater, where I used to watch James Arnold Taylor all the time do his shows during Star Wars weekends, got tore down. I mean, just little things that had great memories for me just were getting wiped out. And although I was excited to see Galaxy's Edge come, I was like, this is going to be great, but I don't want to see this go. and of course, everything that I had lost literally fell out of my mind the first time I walked through that gate for Galaxy's Edge. Oh my gosh. That was, it was because a friend of ours took me and David for Passholder Preview. So before it even opened, we got to go for cast member preview. And so we got in, and we're walking around and walking over that hill for the first time and seeing the Falcon. Oh, man, it will bring a tear to your eye. It is, because you're just sitting there saying, like, this can't be real. This can't be real. But I've been loving having Galaxy's Edge in my backyard. Even though it's a backyard that's 45 minutes away, it's still in my backyard.
And that's the thing, even from St. Pete, it's not terribly far. You know, it would be about 90 minutes to go there.
Yeah.
And I know I've been able to hit, you know, I've hit Hollywood Studios a couple of times. Once before, you know, construction was still going on at the park, and then once when it opened up, I got to go last year for a few hours. And yeah, I think it's one of those where, you know, if you say, like, you're going to Magic Kingdom, well, you could go to Magic Kingdom a number of times, budget permitting, and you're going to probably get it, you know, like, as your kids get older, you get a little slightly different experience, you know, like going things, or if you're going back, like, all right, we're going to trade pins, or we're going to go after autographs of the characters and so forth. But with Galaxy's Edge, you know, you have that where you could go back and I'm just going to explore this certain area and look for the Easter eggs, or you're looking for that. Those are the things I thought, well, that adds a lot of value because I'm going to get something out of it. And for me, I think one of the best souvenirs I got was there was one of those little guide maps that someone had, you know, left next to a park bench. And I was like, oh, man, because there was the Arabish, you know, translation guide, and there was things. Yep. And then I didn't even think about getting into the app and doing that. And so I think if you're going to, like I said, you know, the hotel is a whole other level, but, you know, what I like about them is the care they put into it to go, you know, we want you to come back, obviously, and spend more time here, but you could go back and not necessarily have to worry about hitting rides per se. You could go, like, we just want to go back and explore and interact. And I think that's what makes, you know, if you're going to give me the value for the park, you know, a couple minutes ride, you know, an hour for a couple minutes ride is one thing, but if I can go back there and get a whole great experience out of it, and, you know, and then splurge on some swag, you know, say for that, then I think then, you know, they're doing the right thing. And, you know, one would hope that as the years go on and you see that content kind of change, because we're going to get probably past the First Order, and that, you know, you could see them inserting other characters and other storylines in there. You know, the Falcon's always going to be a marquee spot because it's that seems to endure. And having that full-size Falcon is amazing. And then, hopefully the Rise of the Resistance. Yeah, I mean, it's... that's what's got to be fun. But I think especially for folks... And you don't think about it in other states, like I said. But in Florida, you know, you've got to travel. If you're wanting to see other places, you've really got to go a long way before you see anything to get out. And I think that makes it... It has to make it, you know, that much more special for... You know, for Florida residents, that you get that, but it's okay. I can, you know, obviously other things we can visit, we can, you know, travel by plane or whatnot. But here's something that, you know, yeah, we kind of grew up with Disney, just sort of is there. It's part of that Florida experience. But then you have something like, okay, now I can go back and enjoy those.
Exactly.
When did you kind of? How did you get involved? Start getting involving in. In really kind of giving back content with podcasting, how did you kind of find your way in?
After getting back in the fandom after that first Star Wars weekends year, I started looking for content. I needed stuff to kind of fill the gap, because after Star Wars weekends, nothing's going on, so you're on a high that's kind of crashing. You're like, I need something to fill in the time. So I discovered podcasts, and I started listening Forcecast, and it was actually about that time Coffee with Kenobi was starting, and I started listening. I found it on like the first or second episode and started listening to them from the beginning, and really connected well with Danzy and Corey Club, and really struck up a friendship with them just as a listener. And Star Wars Weekends rolled around again, and they were talking about Star Wars Weekends. And I'm like, well, no, I'll let you know how it goes. I'll go be there, because my friend Robbie and I had already talked. We were going to go every weekend that year. And he's like, so Dan reached out. He's like, well, how would you like to be like a our special correspondent for Star Wars Weekends? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. So that just kind of flourished out. I went on the show and talked about Star Wars Weekends, and I did some recordings while I was at the park, and just had a great time. Did some recap blogs and was tweeting from the park while I was there, and had a great time. Met a lot of great people because of that. Being plugged into that situation. That's how I met my co-host for Star Wars Reactions. That's how I met David, was through Coffee with Kenobi covering Star Wars Weekends. And you meet a lot of great people doing that. People I still talk to today. David, there's a lot of other podcast hosts that I met during that time frame that I still talk to. And that's just kind of how things go. And then it came to a point where Dan and Corey needed to step back from Rebels Reactions because they had too much going on their plate. And while they were deciding how to handle that, I stepped in and filled in. And then Dan was just like, well, why don't you take it over? I'm like, seriously? and that's pretty much how it came about. I stepped in as the full-time host of Rebels Reactions for them, and it turned into, once Rebels ended, it turned into Resistance Reactions, and we covered all of Resistance. And then at that point, right before Resistance ended, the network had grown so big, we all just kind of pretty much branched out on our own, like the kids leaving the house, and moved out on our own. And when Resistance ended, David and I rebranded into Star Wars Reactions, and have been loving it ever since.
I think one of the smarter things that you guys had done was, you know, in I remember following along with Rebels reactions and going into Resistance, where you're kind of changing gears. You know, it was sort of interesting, like, all right, what's going to happen to these? It's kind of like they're out of work after Resistance ended. But I thought it was kind of smart to go, you know, you have, you know, developed this, you know, this relationship between the host and, you know, this the relationship between you and your audience. And, you know, I think a lot of times people would be on board with, you know, like, no, we're, you know, it's a trusted source. We can go back to, we're getting good reactions from it. And just to go, well, we're just going to react to different things. So you kind of you had to kind of rebrand yourself. And then you kind of moved on. And I think that gives you a nice platform to, you know, to kind of go, well, we can go in different directions with this. If there's something on, we can follow it. Mm-hmm. But in between times, we still have, you know, we still have many things to talk about. And I think that, you know, as I'm kind of finding with a lot of folks during this time where, you know, you're at home and, you know, but people are looking for that steadiness. They're looking for something, you know, to fill that time. But also I think that as a listener, and I always say I'm a podcast listener first and a podcaster second, you're kind of looking for that. And you kind of, over time, you sort of develop that where we start to find out, you know, you're not necessarily like, okay, my social is this, but... But you are saying we're also kind of following along with, you know, things that are happening, and it's been kind of a fun ride to listen to you guys and just kind of go, okay, this is where things are going. And then mm-hmm. when something comes up, you also kind of go, well, now I'm kind of curious what their take on is it. So I'm thinking, since the rebranding and since you've been going on, do you feel a little more freedom in that you can kind of, you know, one of the last episodes, you're like, hey, I didn't necessarily have a topic for it. And you just kind of went off for a couple hours, but it seemed like you guys really just enjoyed each other's company. You're just like, hey, we're just going to talk about Star Wars. And so that had to be kind of liberating for you.
Yeah, it really is. It opened up a whole new world for us at that point. I mean, when we found out we were going to be branching out on our own, we still had about 8 episodes of Resistance left. So we were trying to plan stuff out ahead of time during that frame. And when we start talking about changing the name of the show, I'm like, well, we could stay Resistance, you know, but we don't want the name to tie us down to a time frame, an era of the saga, even though it wouldn't. We could still technically discuss anything we wanted, but we didn't want to be tied to an era, which honestly, if you look at it, Resistance isn't as popular as it could have been. There's a lot of bad, unfortunately, a lot of bad taste in people's mouths when it comes to the sequel era of movies. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily to distance ourselves from that, because we enjoyed those movies. We enjoyed Resistance. But it was just to let people know that we're opening up to everything. We're planning, when season 2 of Mandalorian comes out in the next month or two, we're going to be reviewing those episodes. We're going to talk about books. We're going to talk. Everything is on the table for us when it comes to the saga, and that's why we wanted to brand it that way. And it worked out for us, because, like I said, the last episode, I had been feeling down for a while, just beat up by, you know, the world and everything going on around us finally catching up to me. And we just literally sat down, turned on the mic, and we threw the show notes out the window and just went, oh, let's just talk. And we rambled for about an hour and a half before we edited it down. And it just had a great time. And that's what we want this to, we want to have a feel of just, you know, friends having a conversation, which is what we are. I mean, we do a lot of analysis. We do break down stuff a lot when we have a certain topic, but we also just want it to be, you know, something you would have a conversation with a friend. And that's pretty much what we did. And what we will continue to do, because I think it went really well that Excellent. Last episode. So
one thing that really got you on my radar, and one of the big reasons I was putting you on today, you know, I started seeing some familiar things show up in your Twitter feed, and in, you know, and it was the cards. And mm-hmm. what was really interesting, you know, since I've done this, I've talked to a lot of folks who have, you know, like, and myself included, you know, got back into cards. You know, we collected them as kids and kind of came back, but, you know, you kind of dove back in. And I remember you're kind of saying on your show there, you know, you were kind of picking different properties. And so I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that today in your card collecting before and what, when you decided to kind of get back in, where did you kind of, how, your thought process of getting back in?
Okay. Well, you know, it was, I growing up, I always collected cards, up until I went overseas. And then when I came home from overseas and between trips overseas, I loved cards. I baseball cards, football cards, back in there in the day, Star Trek cards. Never did Star Wars cards. Honestly, I never knew they existed. But Star Trek cards, NASA had a set of cards with collector cards that they did with astronauts and photos from the space program. I collected a bunch of those, and I just had a great time with them. But then just got away from it. But when I came back home again, I was in college, so I just never gave it the time of day or even a second thought. And then Topps released the Trader app, and I got into that when it first came out. Then just kind of drifted away, and it was, my gosh, just a couple months ago when you and a couple other people were in my feed, and y'all were talking about, like, you know what, I probably need to re-download that app and just see what's going on, and got into it again, and it was just so much fun. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, this is great, and there's some beautiful cards in this app, but man, I really miss holding the card, having the cards in my hand, and feeling. So I went through some boxes and found a lot of my older cards, not near as many as I had back in the day, but I found a collection of my older cards. And I'm like, man, I just need to start getting some other cards. And so I started, you know, poking around eBay and poking around an app called Mercari. And I started grabbing stuff here and there. I got some Star Trek cards, old show from oh man, Sequest DSV. I got mm-hmm. a set of those cards. I got a season one set from the Orville, which is out.
Oh, nice.
And a ton of Star Trek cards. I picked up the Mandalorian set from Journey of the Child set, and just been picking up stuff here and there. I just got I haven't had a chance to share it yet, but I got a shipment in yesterday of Resistance, Star Wars Resistance cards that I have not even opened yet. It was I found a great deal on eBay for $40. I got like 40 individual unopened packs plus three boxes that have them, plus three 5-pack boxes and three album boxes. And I'm like, oh man, this is great. It was a steal. So I got all those sitting here that I need to go through, and I just really haven't even opened half of the stuff that have just been showing up yet. They're still sitting in this shrink wrap boxes, but it was just stuff that I grew up with. You know, I grew up in my dark time in my Star Wars fandom. It was all Star Trek is all I watched. So that's been fun to get into, seeing Star Wars come back in and pick up some Star Wars boxes have been great. And, it was funny. Sequest just kind of showed up. I was talking to David on the show about it. I think it was a month or two ago. It was in text. We were texting. I'm like, man, I really miss Sequest. I don't know why it crossed my mind, but I'm like, man, Sequest. I really miss Sequest. That was a great show. Roy Scheider was in it, and I'm like, that was a good show. And next thing I know, NBC releases their Peacock streaming app, and boom, there's all three seasons of Sequest.
Sequest.
I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And so I binge watched all three seasons, and next thing I know, on one of my Mercari apps, boom, there's Sequest box, an unopened box of Sequest trading cards. I'm like, mine. And that just kind of got the ball rolling, and it's been fun. Just getting this stuff and being able to sort through stuff and looking for that stuff. I just kind of picking and choosing through things of what I think would be cool to get and it's just nice to have that feel in your hand. This morning before we started talking, I actually opened up a pack of Star Wars cards from Journey to the Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and it's just feeling those cards, and I'm like, oh, there's just feel opening up the pack. There's a rush when you open the pack up. And I'm like, oh man, I forgot how this feels. This feels great. And it's just nice to have that mystery. I mean, there was nothing really unique in the pack. I mean, there was a Ralph McQuarrie concept art card in there, which was gorgeous. It was the X-Wing Death Star Attack card. Very nice. And the Force Awakens poster card was in there. But it was just having that mystery of what is going to be inside of it when you rip open that wrapper it brought back some good memories.
What I think was interesting about the Resistance, and folks who've listened to the show have heard me talk about it before, especially for a property that didn't necessarily have, I think, the full brunt of Disney and Lucasfilm, behind it. When you go and look at this particular set, now this was a retail only set, so there wasn't a hobby one. You'll notice there's not like it's geared for sitting on a Target or Walmart shelf. But in that you found these scenes from the show, and so you start looking at this nice time capsule of Resistance, where you're seeing certain scenes, and then you start kind of thinking like, man, and I think Rebels was the same way. There was only that one season of Rebels that Topps put out, and yeah. So you start thinking like, man, it would have been fun to see successive series of these cards. But with Resistance, even the solo, like the insert sets, the Resistance has these really nice foil inserts of particular characters, and some of them you're thinking back of like say a Bo Keevil and going, boy, there was a missed opportunity because we didn't really get much of Bo.
Yeah.
It was almost the same, I would say, with Griff. Griff, near it wasn't until the very end that some of these other characters really had more than a few lines, I would say. He had that whole second season show where they're on the with the Hutt, and you start to go, so a lot of that stuff kind of didn't pay off for a while, but it's nice now going back because there just isn't a whole lot of Resistant stuff. And then also when you're looking at those other inserts, now they had those pop-out cards. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to try one out. I had enough dupes that after a while I go, okay, I want to see what this looks like. But what a creative way to take a card and turn it into a little fold-out piece. And then, mm-hmm. you're thinking, and then even the hangers that came in those blaster boxes.
Yes. I haven't opened them. They literally came in last night. And right before I had to leave the house last night for an activity with my girls. And I got back late and haven't had a chance to touch them. So they're literally sitting on the shelf next to me, waiting to be opened, along with like a whole bunch of other stuff. Cause a lot of the stuff I get and I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm holding it. And I'm like, I just want to rip it open and rip the packs open. But then I'm like, man, I want to take my time and savor it as well. And kind of extend this enjoyment out as long as possible. But at the same point, I just want to, like Christmas morning, I just want to rip the papers off and throw stuff around and see what's in there. But yeah, I've seen the pop-up cards that you mentioned. Those, they're really nice. They're different too. That's what I like about it. It's, right. It's a different type of insert. And you can just pop them up and they make great display piece. You pop them up, set them on the shelf, and you got the cast looking at you. So
one thing I also knew when I saw that you were, when I said this guy's serious, was as you went back and collected the Resistance autographs from the Masterwork set. Now Masterwork mm-hmm. is one of the higher end ones, but I like the fact that you had done this mini collection of Team Fireball. And one thing of note, I do believe those Masterwork cards are autograph on card instead of autograph on sticker. So if you collect any, if you continue collecting, you're going to notice a big difference in not all autograph cards are created equal.
True.
What was your reaction to the Masterwork cards?
Oh man, I love them. When they came in, Kaz is the first one that showed up, and just how thick the card was the first thing that stuck out to me. As I grabbed it and I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, this is the thickest card I've ever seen. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. I love how they framed it up and how everything was just, it was perfect. And since Fireball, I've gotten a few extras that came in. Toradosa came in, Berna Velasco, Grievel, D. Bradley Baker voiced, and then of course Bolza Gruel, who was Fred Tatiscore. Those came in as well, and they're just all fun. They're just beautiful looking cards, and they're just so much fun to look at.
And I also thought that you did it. You know, it's a great thing for a collector. You know, because you're diving back in and you find that, you know, there's obviously a ton of cards. They're not, you know, 15, 25 cents a pack, but there is a way that you can go, I can collect, like, say, if you put together, say, Team Fireball for Masterwork, it's a great way to go, well, I don't necessarily need the whole run, but here is a nice mini collection. And It may not be, it's going to be almost unique to you in that I want to go after, you know, just X, Y, and Z, and that makes a nice set. It's like someone going after, say, like a, you know, Matt Lanter and Ashley Eckstein,
yeah,
you know, from Clone Wars, or you throw in D. Bradley Baker from that, with James Taylor, and you have that nice little set of that,
yeah,
where on their own they make a nice little collection, and you go, no, that's all I really need, and you can get just as much enjoyment as someone who is putting together a set, like a full base set. And I think going forward, if you decide to continue to collect, this gives you a blueprint of like, okay, I don't have to, you know, you can go in like any one of us, like for me with some vintage Kenner, where you're going back in and going, okay, you go back in and dive, get everything, or I can go, all right, I want to go, you know, one, there's room. I want to do this, this, and this. And then that way it's, you know, in your mind, it's complete. And I think that's the best thing. It is like there's always stuff to chase, and you know, like those people who follow the Black Series and so forth. But for you, you almost kind of set up going, I can almost kind of attach to things I love, and in that way, I don't feel like I'm always there. You know, like I can get fulfilled. You can get that, you know, fulfilled to go, wow, this is really great. But I don't feel like I have to. I am now stuck on having to get everything that comes out.
Yeah, no, and that's a realization I came to. Actually several years ago when it came to my personal collections is limiting to what I like, what brings me joy. Because I was for the longest time just grabbing everything I could get my hands on that said Star Wars. And it got to the point where I literally at one point had the room for it. I mean, we had a house, I had my own man cave office, and I had all the shelf space, all that I wanted, and I had room for it. But things outside of our control happened with the sinkhole. We lost the house, so we lost a lot of space. I had to start whittling down. I'm like, okay, well, how do I want to do this at this point? Because I can't just keep, you know, 60 boxes stacked up in the garage. Because I don't have room for it. So I'm like, what do I find the most enjoyment of? What do I like the most out of this fandom? So it really has limited itself down to, for me, is limited down to anything Obi-Wan Kenobi, anything Rebels, and actually right now Resistance as well, because I still, when Resistance ended, It left a little bit of a hole when it ended. I did enjoy the show. I think it was very underrated and undermanaged with the way Disney managed it. I think it was very underrated with fans who were linking it to their dislike of The Last Jedi. And so they were keeping their distance. Why would I want to watch that? It's Resistance. The sequel stinks. everybody's entitled to their opinion. I disagree with that opinion, but you know, more power to you if that's how you feel. But I enjoyed the show. Matter of fact, I just finished rewatching the entire show this past week, both seasons, and I got more out of it this time than when I watched it 6 or 7 times a week when I was reviewing it on the show. And I'm sitting there I was watching it as a fan this time. I was watching it as a fan then, but it was a lot more work. So I was taking notes up, but this, just sitting back and watching it, I was like, man, how did I not catch that the first time I watched it? It's a good show. I mean, even shows that we panned critically when we watched it, when we were reviewing it, when I watched this time, I was like, why did we pan this? This was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it more this time around. So, I've learned to limit myself to just certain things. And I've actually gotten a lot more enjoyment at that point out of my collections at that point. Because, you know, you're not buying everything and buying something and then turning around going, oh, man, I want that too, but I just bought this over here. Well, that stinks. Well, I didn't need this. That would have fit perfectly. So I've limiting it has been great. And this, and I've pretty much applied that to the cards as well. You know, I don't have to buy everything. I just find what I like and go with it, you know. And the Masterworks autograph cards are pretty much, with Team Fireball, was pretty much the same thought along that line at that point. It was, man, it's Team Fireball. Let's just do it and pull the trigger.
Well, and also what was interesting is, you know, that kind of ties back into Celebration, where when they were selling those autograph, you know, those autograph tickets, whatnot, you know, there was those packages. You could get the autographs of Team Fireball. Mm-hmm. And they had that out. And so I thought that was a great way to kind of, you know, that when you're talking about that, I mean, that's a great way to kind of package that around. That does bring up an interesting question going back to the podcast. You know, doing reactions, does that, in watching it sort of like offline, as it were, as opposed to when you're doing it for the show, do you think when doing it for the show, does that make it less enjoyable or more enjoyable?
I don't think it makes it less enjoyable. I think it makes it, after the first time, I think the first viewing is very enjoyable, but then you cram in so many additional viewings to get ready for the show that it becomes more, or you're focusing on analysis versus enjoyment. And I think, not that I enjoyed the series when it aired. I really did. I just enjoyed it a lot more the second time around when I wasn't having to break everything down. And I think it just becomes more, your focus is different when you're watching something to review it versus just watching it to enjoy it, because you're looking at it through a more critical eye of, okay, what do I need to take from this scene? What are they saying? What is this? Instead of just sitting back, clearing your head and going, So I think that's where it comes up.
Is there a danger of people who do, you know, in doing those, you could do, you know, and you probably see this when we go watch the show, like say we go to a movie, we watch a show and you come out and there's that exhilaration of being, you know, done with it. And then you go back and as you watch it 2 or 3 times and you pick up like things, you know, so is there a danger in doing reviews, like a review type show, where you either watch it, you know, if you come off and give your, you know, there are people who like the initial reactions, and then what do you think is a better, what makes a better show? Just giving initial reactions or giving a more analytical view? What do you think is better for the audience?
I personally like what we do, because we do a combination of it, of both. Because when we do a review, after we do the synopsis of the episode, the first question I ask David is, when you first sat down and you first saw this, what was your initial reaction? So we share what we initially thought. We were, man, we were blown away by this, this, and this. Or, man, when I first watched this, it sucked. We shoot from that. We tell you exactly what we thought when we first watched it. Then we go into the analysis part, and at the end we're like, okay, now that you've gone to your initial thought, you've gone through the breakdown of the episode and the analysis, what are your final thoughts on these? So you get the whole progression from us of what we initially thought. We analyze it and break it down, and then we give you our final thought. And it could be completely different than our initial thought. And that's happened quite a bit on our show, where we've analyzed something, we've given our initial thoughts, we've analyzed it, and then at the end we're like, you know what? I can't do that anymore. I can't say that anymore, because this is, now that we've broken it down, this is where we're at. And I like the mix that we do. I mean, there is some fun in some initial reaction videos that I see out there. It's somewhat fun, because you get, especially if you're watching them as they watch it, that can have some enjoyment seeing some people's reactions live. But overall, I personally like the mix where everything is, you get it all mixed in, and you see the progression of people's initial thoughts through what their final thought is of the episode. And I mean, granted, the final thought is not always going to be the final thought, because you may change your mind and your opinion down the road, because something else may come in and be like, oh man, now that I've seen this, this makes this look completely different in a different light. So it can make your opinion can definitely change. But I like that progression in getting the whole picture.
One of the things you would probably have to agree with is the fact that with The Mandalorian, I think a lot of folks went into The Mandalorian with very lower expectations, not necessarily thinking it was going to stink, but also going, well, it's a TV show, and what could they do? Do you think that your reaction, how do you go into The Mandalorian season 2 without almost having too high of an expectation?
See, that's going to be that's my biggest worry with Mandalorian season 2, is they came out season 1 and everybody was expecting a great show, but nobody knew what to expect. And there was literally no expectation, because nobody knew what to expect from the show. So anything they did was going to be golden. And now they've set this bar, and they didn't set it that high. Fans have set it that high because of their enjoyment of season 1. That's my worry, is when season 2 comes out, are they going to be able to hit that high mark again that the fans are expecting? Now, I have no doubt they're going to put out a fabulous show. It's going to be in a tremendous episodes. We're going to get tremendous stories from season 2. I have no doubt in my mind. But in the eyes of the fans, all the stories that they're going to give us going to reach that same height. That's what I'm concerned about, because as we have seen, fandom can be pretty volatile. And I don't want, I know they're going to give us the best they can give us. They always do. I just don't want it to not hit the level that some fans are expecting. And then there be a loud uproar of, well, this isn't what we wanted. This stinks. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, fine. We just won't do anymore. Right. I'm not wanting that. Especially now with, there's a ton of rumors going around, unsubstantiated rumors going around about season 2 that are hyping people up for something that there's a good chance we're not going to see. And I don't want that. And I'm a little worried those unsubstantiated rumors may influence people's reactions to the season. And, I'm excited for season 2. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we're not far away from it. We're a little over a month, I would think, from it. It's going to sometime in October. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see the fan reaction. I have no doubt, critically, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome stories. I'm just a little concerned how fans will accept it if there are no, if certain items that people are throwing out there as rumors don't end up showing up, how they will respond.
And I'm sure you have, there is a particular segment of your audience that is engaged back with you. Have you had pretty good success with your following, with your audience?
You know, everybody that we've interacted with that have listened to the show and everything, I think they're going to love whatever they get. Everybody we've dealt with has been very supportive of what Disney has done and what Lucasfilm has done. Everybody has differing opinions of what their favorite movies are and everything, but we get along and we understand that, you know, everybody's different, you know, everybody's going to have their opinions. And that's what makes this community great, is that everybody can have their own opinions and it doesn't make them any different than us. You know, I got my opinion of what my favorite character and what my favorite series or what my favorite movie is, and that differs from what David's is. That differs from what my friend Robbie is. It's called life. And I think it's all up with our listeners, that ones that we've interacted with, they're just excited to be getting more Star Wars. I mean, it's been said 100 times by hundreds of people, this is probably the greatest time to be a Star Wars fan, because we are getting so much content. Nobody expects you to like it all, but the content's there for you to enjoy if you want to. Whether it's a novel, whether it's comics, whether it's cards, whether it's movies, TV shows, the content is there for your enjoyment. It's up to you whether you choose to engage in that enjoyment or not. Exactly. If you engage in it and you don't like it, no problem. I mean, I have friends who, my friend Robbie, I love him to death. He's my best friend. He's my best buddy. He hasn't read a Star Wars book ever. I love the books. That doesn't make any, that doesn't change anything for us. He wasn't fond of the sequels. I enjoyed the sequels. That doesn't change anything for us. I mean, it's just, everybody has their own opinions and everybody has their own enjoyments. And I think we have a good fan base for our show that accepts everybody's opinions and always has. And I think that will continue going forward, no matter what is provided and how people react and that's how we're going to continue to promote everything. Is, you know what, you may like it, you may not. Some people do, some people won't. But, you know, we accept it all. So
I would be remiss by, you know, not having you on and not giving at least a couple of minutes time to, I already know the answer to this, but your favorite character.
Chopper.
The how much Chopper stuff do you have?
Unfortunately, not a lot, because there isn't a lot of Chopper stuff out there. I got the 3¾-inch figures. I got the Lego figures. I got the Disney figure that they released in the Disney parks that they also had at Celebration. I got that. I got the 6-inch Black Series Chopper. But other than that, there's really not a lot of Chopper out there. Trading cards, thanks to you. Got the Chopper trading card. But there really isn't a lot of Chopper in the world right now. And it's a very, the Funko Pop. I got the Funko Pop. He's staring at me right now, waving his little arm at me, going, why aren't you talking about me? Yeah, there's not a lot of Chopper stuff out right now. So I got everything I'm aware of outside of, like, you know, fan created items. There's a little wind up and go thing that they had at Galaxy's Edge that I picked up, like one of the little kid toys that you just literally pull back and let go, and he goes rolling around. I got that, but there's not a lot of Chopper stuff out. But everything I know of, outside of, you know, fan stuff, is there. And ultimately, my goal is to convince my wife to let me build a full scale, fully operational chopper, but you know, I'm having to go slow on it's a tough, it's a very tough sell. Yeah, every time I bring it up, she goes, "There's nowhere to put it." I'm like, "He will sit perfectly in that corner. I do not want to wake up to Chopper staring at me." I'll make sure he's turned off. No. So I'm working on that one. That's a tough sell, but eventually that's my goal, is to get the full size operational Chopper.
But that's something when I know in looking at Galaxy's Edge, you know, at the droid depot. You know, I came back. I knew if I brought back the bag with the droid, I was going to get a look, and also with the cost of it. So the bag came back because the bag was useful. But there will be a time when the droid will drop, and I'm hoping by that time there are enough different colored pieces where you could get really close to a chopper or a droid that you start picking out. You know, some of these go on, man, I hope we'll see, you know, X, Y, and Z in there, because I really like what they do, and hopefully that they continue to improve upon that, because I think that makes a nice keepsake as well. But it goes also back, the other reason I bring it up is that I wasn't really interested that much, and I've been talking about the Chrome Perspective set, which is the latest set by Topps. And it was one of those where I wasn't, you know, I was kind of talking about, do I go in on boxes or do I just go on eBay and get a set? And one of the things that kind of pushed me over the edge was I was watching an unboxing from a friend of mine, and there was a Major Vorak card in there. Okay. And one thing you'll notice when you go, as we're talking, when you're going into the Resistance cards, only the inserts actually had the character profiles. And so, you know, it wasn't until the Women of Star Wars set earlier this year that you actually had, they actually included some of the characters from, you know, from Resistance in there. And so those cards become kind of nice to go seek, because if you're looking for, let's say, if I just want to focus on Resistance character or cards that are outside of the set, there aren't a lot of them. So it makes a nice alternate chase where you can kind of go and, you know, you can put together something that they're mix and match, but they are these characters. And then, you know, what you're hoping for is, when we get to go back into a celebration, these are the kind of things that would make a great keepsake. Some of the voice characters, you know, the actors, if they kind of come back, well, you can have a Christopher Sean, or you can have, you know, some of these other characters go back and sign their cards, and you have a very nice keepsake, as well as something that is not necessarily as common. So those are one of the things that'll be interesting now as people are discovering a show like Resistance or Rebels, to go where those characters also show up in successive releases from Topps, where they, a lot of times they'll go over a theme or they'll go over this, and you go, it's nice because then you see, yes, they are a part of the universe, but they're also nice because they are different from their core set.
Yes. And I think that's, it would be nice to see that going forward too, because a lot of people, I've been noticing a lot of this on Facebook and even on Twitter lately, is with Disney Plus and all the series, all of Rebels, all of Resistance is now on there completely. A lot of people, with all the downtime they've had in quarantine, are now going back and rewatching or watching for the first time these animated shows that they never watched because they weren't into animation. And I've seen so many people just react going, why did I not watch this sooner? This is incredible. Why did we not do this sooner? And time and time again, it's happening. And I just keep going, told you so. Told you so. So I hope with that growing fan base, we will start seeing some of that stuff come out more from Topps, or even from Hasbro too, because you know, we got one wave of Resistance figures, 3 3/4 inch Resistance figures, with only half of Teep Fireball.
Exactly.
and you know, they were cool, they were good figures, but you know, complete the set.
Or you see see some of those season 2 characters.
Exactly. Get some of the season 2 characters. You know, I I would just like at least like to complete Team Fireball. Exactly. that's my only wish, you know. It's taken, I mean, then again, it's taken Hasbro, what, you know, 6 years to put out all of the Ghost Crew for Rebels in the 6-inch form. I mean, they just released Zeb this month. So it's
a long game.
It's a long game. So apparently we have a lot, it takes a lot of patience, but you know, it's, I'm excited to see if what the future holds in this world, because there's so much out there already and there's so much to come that I would like, that I'm hoping that with the growing fan base for some of these shows, we see more sets like these Resistance cards. I would love to see more Rebels cards. Oh my gosh, I would love to see more Rebels cards, because Rebels probably means more to me than anything else in the saga. It is it for me. And I got 3 unopened packs of Rebel cards sitting here that I just keep looking at, that, you know, I want to open, but at the same time I'm like, no, I want to wait. I don't want to wait for the right time. And I'm like, no, I just want to rip them open. I need a Rebels fix. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there that that I hope they take advantage of.
Excellent. Definitely. Well, you know, I felt this whole time, you know, like I've gotten an episode of Reactions all to myself today. And so I feel very guilty in keeping this long, and, you know, my best to David as well. I love listening to both of you, and it's fun to interact with. But, you know, once, like I said, when I saw that, you know, the card started coming back, and, you know, it seems like you were the type where these are the collectors I'm hoping to kind of engage with, is like, you know, people coming back into the fold and seeing that enjoyment of holding a physical item, as well as Card Trader. And, you know, there's this group that I tag you incessantly on. So it's like, yeah, it's almost like, it's Friday, I'm getting tagged 3 or 4 times. But
I look forward to it.
it's fun, because there is this community of folks, whether, you know, it's fans, it's podcasters, it's people who create content, but just people who really enjoy, and it's a lot of fun. And it's been fun to kind of include you in on that and you know, and have you kind of chime back in, you know, when you can. And it's also, like I said, it's fun to listen to, because I think as it goes along, as we kind of engage with each other and become a kind of a part of this stream that we're going on, there's that familiarity, and there's that comfort that people are there and they continue to produce content, and there's a lot of good content out there. And so I wish you guys the best, and very, very happy that you guys continued on. And like I said, it's been fun. It's been fun to have you. I got to get, I know one last thing, and this is for David. You know, he said those 501st cards, which I started collecting a couple of years ago, and I nearly drove off the road because I was like, yes, that's, you know, that's exactly the understated cards. Yep. Out there. If you are engaged with, if you see the 501st out there, they typically have cards on them, and they are also unique, one of a kind, you know, type things where you'll get a little bit, and those people put a lot in, and so at any rate, so yeah, my props to David for that. But anyway, can you tell us where we can find you and the podcast just as we wrap things up?
Absolutely. The best way to find me is, of course, is Twitter, online on Twitter. My personal Twitter is TAHarris121079. Always there. Then, of course, to check out the show, we're everywhere. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Star Wars Reactions, the name of the show. On Twitter, we're SW Reactions Pod. On Facebook, it's Star Wars Reactions. And, of course, on Instagram, it's SW Reactions. And, of course, you can always check out the website, StarWarsReactions.com. We're there as well. And we're publishing bi-weekly episodes, trying to get through the summer lull. Wait, and then of course once Mandalorian's coming up, we will go back to our weekly reviews So that's, yeah, that's the best way to find us. Check us out and stop in and say hi.
Excellent. I appreciate you for coming on today, and best of luck to you, and stay healthy, all right?
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me. This has been a blast.
Once again, my thanks to Aaron Harris for being on the program tonight. It was a pleasure to get a chance to talk with him, learn more about his collections, and of course, his foray back into trading cards. We will watch your career with great interest. If you have any feedback for tonight's episode, you can reach out to the program in a number of ways. You can leave a comment on the Instagram post for this episode. You can also DM me on Instagram at RebelBaseCard. You can find me on Twitter at RebelBaseCard. You can email the program at greg@rebelbasecard.com. You can also find me on Facebook at RebelBaseCard. You can find the show notes for this and all episodes on the website, RebelBaseCard.com. And if you are in the Star Wars Card Trader app, you can find me at CornFedTech. I use the hashtag CardSquadron, not only for a way to put out the word on cool cards and card collecting, but as a way hopefully to bring us a little closer together. We collect, communicate, and commiserate when we run out of credits to spend in the app. Join in on the fun, plus, well, all the other cool squadron names were already taken. We collect as one, and would be honored if you would join us. And if you are a sketch card artist or Star Wars artist or collector, cosplayer, want to talk about your work, your craft, your passion, drop me a line and maybe we can work something out. I'd love to get a chance to hear your story. You can also help out the program by leaving a comment and review on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast from. Otherwise, I implore you, keep those cards out of the hands of the Empire folks, and I'll talk to you soon.
The music for this podcast is brought to you under a Creative Commons license from Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. This is Discipline off the album The Slip.
This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds and any other related items are properties of their respective trademarks and or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.